Investment flash.
Buddy, we've got a $2.6 billion vote of confidence in airlines from Berkshire, while another big money manager just hit the eject button. Same sector, same war, totally opposite bets. That's our weekend edition.
Welcome to Investment Flash Weekend Edition, Saturday, May 16th, 2026, with me, Tom and Gerald. We're diving into the signals that matter, from the airline sector's great divide to Amazon's copper grab and India's fuel price shock.
Let's start with the headline. Berkshire Hathaway built a $2.6 billion stake in Delta last quarter, Greg Abel's first big airline bet, while hedge fund Appaloosa dumped all three major U.S. carriers, citing soaring fuel costs from the Iran war. Diane, you've got two smart money camps arriving at completely opposite conclusions.
Yeah, look, Delta trading flat year to date, while American and United are down nearly 20%. Berkshire's buying the best house in a rough neighborhood, but even that house has a fuel bill that's not getting any cheaper. A price-to-earnings ratio above 20 for an airline is like buying a ticket for a flight that's already been delayed three times.
But buddy, Berkshire's not exactly known for catching falling knives. Abel must see something in Delta's recovery. Maybe international travel holding up better or their fuel hedging?
The question is whether this is value or a value trap. Appaloosa's not just selling. They're rotating into Amazon and Uber, which tells you they're betting on a different kind of mobility altogether.
For real? Amazon up nearly 17% this year, and Uber's getting absolutely crushed. That Uber buy is either genius or catching a falling knife. I love it.
Honestly, buying Uber down 26% from its high is the kind of deep value play I can almost get behind. Except, I'm not sure the driver supply economics work with fuel costs where they are. Though, to be fair, Appaloosa might be betting that Uber's platform benefits from higher demand for delivery when people stay home.
But here's the tech twist. Amazon isn't just getting Appaloosa's money. It's going straight to a mine to buy copper for its AI data centers. That's a structural demand signal if I've ever seen one.
Hold on, Tom. The copper ETF, CPER, is down nearly 5% today. The commodity traders are still pricing the long-term story, but the near-term risk-off is real. Plus, direct procurement by a single company doesn't mean the whole market is tight. It could be Amazon hedging against future price spikes, which isn't necessarily bullish for copper today.
Though CPER is still up 9% year-to-date, the AI infrastructure build-out is real, but so is the growth scare we're seeing across equities. That's the tension.
Yeah, but you can't ignore a company the size of Amazon locking up supply directly. Remember when they started buying their own planes for cargo? Same playbook, vertical integration when they see a bottleneck.
The growth scare gets worse when you look at India. They just raised fuel prices for the first time in 4 years, and both Bloomberg and Nikkei warn consumers face more hikes. That's a direct inflation shock hitting purchasing power.
And it's not just India. Emerging markets are feeling it. The Brazil ETF, down 6% this week, is a decent proxy for contagion fears. Every country that imports oil is getting squeezed.
Yeah, but India's a long-term growth story. Short-term pain, sure, but Modi's hand was forced by the war. Once fuel stabilizes, that economy bounces back. Or am I being too optimistic again?
Maybe a bit. The worry is that these price hikes are just starting, and if demand destruction sets in, it undercuts the commodity bulls who are only looking at supply. I mean, calling the peak in oil is the new hobby for some, but the consumer pain is real.
Speaking of the bull case, oil's still on a tear. USO up over 3.5% today, near a 52-week high. Energy stocks up too.
Yeah, but Nikkei had the most original take today. Japanese oil wholesalers are using ship-to-ship transfers off Malaysia and India to get around the Hormuz closure. It's a costly workaround, but it means oil is still flowing. If that becomes widespread, the geopolitical risk premium could deflate fast.
Exactly, and that's what we are getting at in today's Our View. The easy oil money has been made. USO up 115% year-to-date. That's a crowded trade. A sudden de-escalation or more workarounds, and you've got a lot of longs running for the exit.
Fair, but until then, oil supply is tight. The first LNG tanker through Hormuz is arriving Monday, and volumes are tiny. The disruption is still the base case.
And that's exactly why oil's bid. The market is pricing a protracted closure. But honestly, the ship-to-ship transfers are the kind of adaptation that erodes the panic premium. Watch those volumes.
Meanwhile, Japan's facing its own policy headaches. The BOJ's tapering plans are under political scrutiny from PM Takaichi's advisors, and the yen's retreating despite suspected intervention. That's a double whammy for the yen.
Look, the yen's path of least resistance is down. If the BOJ can't normalize because of politics and intervention isn't working, you sell yen. But equities? I'm not so sure. EWJ's off a bit, but still up 12% year to date. It's range-bound, not crashing.
Yeah, but Japanese automakers are getting hammered. Nikkei says profits will stall at half their peak level because of the war. Toyota and Honda down double digits this year. That's a structural headwind, buddy.
And it's not just fuel costs. Supply chain disruptions, input costs. The war is a tax on manufacturing. The stocks are down double digits year to date, and I don't see a quick recovery.
To be fair, Toyota at 23% discount to its high might be worth a look if you think the war ends in 6 months, but I'm not buying until I see margins stabilizing.
All right, two geopolitical notes to wrap. Trump and Xi had a summit, no major breakthroughs on Taiwan, and arms sales remain ambiguous. Taiwan equities sold off 4.4% today, but they're still up over 40% year to date. The market is pricing tech exposure over geopolitics for now.
And the rare earth deal rush is on fire. REMEX up nearly 26% this year. The West is desperate to reduce China dependence, and that's a structural shift that's just getting started.
To be fair, Tom, that's a classic commodity momentum play, but the valuation on some of these rare earth miners is getting frothy. I'd want to see actual production coming online before I chase a 25% year-to-date gain.
Gerald, always the party pooper. But he's got a point. The Hour View today flagged the absence of demand in the commodity narrative. If global growth slows, even rare earths could take a hit.
Maybe, but AI and tech infrastructure is a different demand driver. Copper for data centers, rare earths for everything electronic, that's not going away even in a slowdown. All right, I'm bullish. You two are cautious. What else is new?
So, the weekend takeaway, oil is the thread linking everything. Airline split, India hiking, Amazon hoarding copper, it all comes back to energy.
But as we said, the adaptation stories might cap oil's upside, and demand destruction could undercut the commodity bulls. The cleanest expression isn't a single stock, it's the divergence itself. We'd rather own optionality than shares in something like Delta.
Yeah, and the VIX is nowhere near panic levels, so options aren't crazy expensive. That's the kind of bet I can appreciate. You don't have to pick a direction, just bet on a big move.
All right, none of this is investment advice, as always. See you Monday morning and have a great weekend.
Have a good one, everyone. Investment Flash.